Welcome to another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I am your host, Alan Pettigrew Jr., and in front of me is my best friend in the world, Calvin McGowan. Calvin, go ahead and let the people hear your voice.
What's up, everybody? I'm Calvin McGowan. As always, it's a pleasure to be here.
Guys, we're not going to waste any time. We're going to get straight into the tip-off. The Celtics are Eastern Conference champions. The Young Guns have officially made it to the NBA championship. And I tweeted out yesterday, like, the last 2 years have been battles of the old wave of NBA superstars versus the new wave. I almost kind of find it hard to say Steph Curry is part of the old wave of superstars, considering we got guys like Chris Paul and LeBron who've been in the last couple finals. But this man has been in the league like half my lifetime almost. Like, this is year 13, year 14. We got Klay out here who's been in there for at least 10 plus years. Draymond, the same thing. A lot of these guys, like even Andrew Wiggins, is a grizzled vet. He's been in the league for 8 years. And he's just not coming alive. I get it. He's still young. He's like my age. He's 26. But that has been, yeah, it's crazy, right? I remember watching his hoop mixtape being like, wow, this dude is otherworldly. And being like, no, that kid is your age. Like, that's who you got to go compete with on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. I'm glad my parents got me out of AAU basketball, so I never had to go against anything like that. I appreciate you, Pettigrew family. But to get back to it, it's old wave versus new wave. We got Jason Tatum, who, when he was drafted, I was in college. We got Jaylen Brown, who, when he was drafted, I was in college. Me and Marcus Smart are the same age, and he is one of the vets for the Boston Celtics. Al Horford's old. Al Horford has been in the league since 2008, 2009. He's 15 plus years in there. Everybody thought he was washed. He's having like a revitalized season when he's back with the Celtics. But what we're looking at is truly the next evolution of what the game is. Like, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, 5 years from now, are going to be faces of the league. They're going to be that 1-2 punch that everybody knows, unless there's like some trade that happens if they lose the NBA championship, which we're going to talk about later on in this podcast. But guys, that's the principle. Like, that's what we have to look at. We're about to go watch Steph, who has been, what was it, like 5 of the last 8 NBA championships? NBA finals?
Something like that?
It actually might even be more than that. It's like, it's some crazy statistic where, like, for the past decade, if you are watching the NBA finals, you're looking at Steph Curry. You're looking at Draymond Green. You're looking at Klay Thompson. I hate to say it, but you're looking at Kevon Looney. Like, that's who we're used to seeing in the NBA Finals. And I'll go ahead and say it. At the beginning of the season, I picked them to be one of the pretenders to get to the NBA Championship. I did not think they had it. Steph Curry has looked not like Steph Curry this entire season. I did not think Klay Thompson would come back and be the superstar that we've seen on both ends for the past 8-9 years. Draymond's getting old. Like, he's still tough. He's still smart. But physically, how much can you do when you're playing against a center like Time Lord, who's going to be going up against this NBA Finals, who's just bigger, faster, stronger than you? And I get it. IQ means a lot. And that's kind of what their bread and butter is. Like, this is a team that has NBA championship experience. Like, this is another day at the office for them. For the Boston Celtics, and much like Giannis last year, this is their first time. This is all new to them. This is a new experience. This is a new environment. This is higher stakes than they've ever played for in their lives. NBA, not NBA, AAU championships, high school basketball, college basketball experience set aside. These are the biggest moments they've ever had. And even if we're talking about that stuff, the Warriors just have more experience. Draymond Green had deep runs into the NCAA tournament. Steph Curry had deepish runs into the NCAA tournament. Klay Thompson, he just picked a team that just doesn't go deep. But still, just about every single year, actually, the last time this man played high-level basketball in the NBA, he was in the NBA Finals. So we're looking at experience versus youth. We're looking at the next group of superstars versus the current group of superstars. And I would like the trend to continue where the younger teams beat the older teams. It feels right. Like, I wanted Chris Paul to win the championship so bad last year. That's the only thing I wanted. I made all my predictions and all my picks based off, I want to see Chris Paul get a ring. It does not matter that the Phoenix Suns had obvious issues and they were going up against arguably the best player in the league, Giannis Antetokounmpo. None of that mattered to me. I just wanted to see Chris Paul with a nice, shiny piece of jewelry on his ring when he retired. We're probably not getting that. But I really want this to be the segment in their careers where it is obvious that the old guys still have it to get there, but they don't have enough to win it. And that brings me to my next issue. I don't think the Celtics have that. We watched the Heat come back. Well, when they were trading back-to-back blowouts, we watched the Heat come back in the second half and most importantly in the fourth quarter, probably the last three games, where the Celtics came in with a double digit or at least like a sizable enough lead where you didn't have to worry about much going into the fourth quarter. And they pissed it away every single time. I get it. Jimmy Butler had to go for 47 in game six, with Kyle Lowry doing a lot of damage. It was more of the same in game seven. But the fact that you were losing within the last 4 minutes of a game seven versus the old injured guys says a lot about you as a team. Like, you're just not ready. Like, some things are missing. You don't have that let's go ahead and finish them yet. And that scares the dickens out of me. With that being said, I still got the Celtics in six, mainly because I'm going based off a narrative of the new wave is here and they're coming to knock off the old guys. I want that to happen. But the way they're playing at the end and after what we just saw with Golden State Warriors, who once they get to a 10-point lead, there's no coming back. There's no coming back on the Warriors once they get to a 10-point lead. They have established themselves as soon as we have a double-digit lead, that's it. That's the game. We're going to hold on to this lead. We're going to keep plugging away at it. Whether you stop us from scoring, that just means we're going to stop you from scoring. If you score, we're going to score back. Like, they have figured it out what it means to win and close out a game in a series. And I don't think that's the same with the Celtics. I think they have enough firepower when you look at Jason Tatum, when you look at Jaylen Brown, when you look at what reigning defensive player of the year Marcus Smart can do, even when you look at the matchup of Al Horford and Draymond Green, that's good. If we're talking about positional battles, I think in a lot of those situations, the Celtics win those. Now, when you go to the bench, however, it gets a little sketchy. And realistically, we always talk about how superstars win you championships. You got to have the best player going into a series. That's the team that usually wins. is really about the bench. It's really about when those superstars need a breather, who can come in and fill in those 4 or 5 minute stretches. And I gotta go with the Warriors on all of that. Like, this is gonna be a really interesting championship series. Calvin, let me know what you think about, I guess, the experience gap of the Celtics and the Warriors right now.
Okay. I want to say multiple things. I'm going to start by just addressing that. Let's see. Okay, so this is going to sound like I'm an idiot, but the gap is, it's a big gap. Like, and so, like, here's the thing, right? The Warriors, of course, have several advantages, a lot of which stem from that experience. One, they've been here before many, many times. Right? They are the epitome of a well-oiled machine. They have two of the greatest shooters of all time. They have good young players. And, like, Jordan Poole in particular can get them 30, right? And apparently, Kevon Looney just decided to become, like, an elite-level rebounder while you were just... I'd never pay that man much attention. It's just like, he's there. He's there. It's like, oh, no, he can get boards for real. It's like, when did this happen? And, right, like, you know, say what you will about Kerr, and, like, I definitely will, but, like, he also has the advantage from a coaching perspective of having been here before. And, you know, that's beside the point of, like, they're just an older, more experienced team in general. Andrew Wiggins is, you can set your clock to the man. At this point, like, he's the epitome of consistency. He shows up, you know exactly what you're gonna get. You're not gonna get much else, but that's all you're asking of him anyway, right? About 15 points and just really good defense.
That is a wild statement coming from a man that a lot of people were suggesting.
Oh yeah,
is a bust,
right?
Just like last year,
right?
Come on, yo. If you go to Kansas, you are never a bust. Sorry.
Josh Jackson.
Not a bust, baby. He's still getting checks. If you're a 5-star and you don't want to be considered a bust, go to Kansas. Somebody's going to pay you.
You know what? I'm just not going to have this argument right now. You're just going to be dumb about it. Regardless, though. Yeah, that is a wild statement to say about him, because a lot of people were saying that and whatever. It just goes to show you that nobody plays their best basketball in Minnesota. That said, though, the Golden State Warriors are going to win, barring, you know, some wild stuff. And, like, this isn't, like, a knock on the Celtics, right? This is a knock on Smart or Tatum or Brown or, like, anybody. It's just like they're, and like maybe we'll look up and like this will have aged badly. That would be fun, but like they're, I just don't think they are ready to beat the Warriors. And you know, maybe coaching can overcome some of that, but like you can't really rattle the Warriors. And I think you can rattle Boston a little bit. Also, rattling people is basically Draymond's whole thing at this point. So there's that. But like, if I may for a second make some statements on Game 7 last night, which I'm going to be honest, I kind of like halfway paid attention. But like, there are points I paid full attention. Regardless. I like Jimmy Butler. I like Jimmy Butler a lot. A locked in Jimmy Butler is as good as or better than just about anybody else in the league. Granted, okay, all right, look. Jimmy Butler in this, and like Jimmy Butler when the Heat were in the finals against like the Lakers. Who's outplaying him?
You have a point. If we're talking about anybody outplaying him, that game that Anthony Davis had where he decided to shoot the ball well, that's the only person I can think of. But
like,
you know how I feel about Anthony Davis.
But like, still, right? It's just like the game was only as close of it as it was because Jimmy Butler exists. And of course, Bam Adebayo helped, and he helped a lot. But for some reason, the Heat as a team forgot what it looked like to see the ball go through the hoop from three. If they had shot from deep at even a mediocre clip, they are, like, we're talking about them in the finals right now. Right? And, like, it was legit just, they actually let a lot of stuff go in that game, the refs. At various points, I felt like this wasn't for anybody in particular, but it's just kind of like, are we not calling these? Okay. And right, I'm sure Jimmy is getting a lot of heat for that three, right near the end of the game, which I get. But I would also make the argument that if he wasn't playing, he like that three, like the make or miss on that wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Exactly. And he was trying to win it. Like, yeah. I respect you for trying to get up out of here. Like, you've been playing all game. You're the only person that could score on your team for real. Like, no, we're not going to survive in overtime. We need to go home.
Right. And it's just just looking at it from the outside, like, I can't get too mad at him for taking that. It's like, it would have been nice if it at least hit the rim. But like, it wasn't a terrible decision. Right? There might have been better decisions. Yeah. But like, you know, the Celtics did lead a lot of that game, right? They played really good defense. You know, Tatum and Brown at this point. Like, if we kind of know what to expect from them, they are very good at basketball. And Al Horford had like 14 rebounds and like 5 points. And like the Celtics did just enough to win the game, basically, which at the end of the day is all you really need to do. Well, I mean, it's either that or like the Heat played just good enough to lose, which is also a sound argument because, again, they shot horribly from deep. I guess kind of moving, you know, back to this upcoming series. The Celtics can't get away with some of the stuff they got away with the Heat. Right. In particular, as a team, that the Warriors have too many shooters. The Celtics are like, assuming that they are going to have a chance, they're gonna have to play some of the best defense they played all playoffs, and that's already saying something. Right. And they're going to have to limit mistakes. I'm not so sure how well they will do with that second part, being as young as they are, even though, you know, they're hardly the youngest team in the league at this point, but their best players are all pretty young dudes. Tatum is like, 24? Brown might be a year or two older? Maybe?
Yeah, Brown is 25.
Right. Right. Robert Williams is younger than either of them. I don't know about White. That's like offhand. And like Grant Williams. I'm not even going to pretend. I'm not sure what he does at the NBA level, but I guess he's pretty good at it. Because they keep giving him playing time.
Yeah, and it's working too. By the way, Derek White is the old man on this team at 27. And Grant Dean Williams, great middle name, by the way, he is 23.
This surprises me somehow.
Yeah. And this is what happens when you're really strong. I always, like, when I do recruiting, when I'm talking about a prospect, one thing that I feel like always goes underrated is how strong somebody is. When you are strong, all you have to do is be almost not foul prone, and you can become a good defender. Like, if somebody wants to bang with you and you're stronger than them, they can't do it. If somebody wants to run through you and you're stronger than them, you can't do it. So if you are a high IQ player like Grant Williams is, being strong and knowing how to use that can make you a sub-elite defender. And that's exactly what he looks like right now. That is a matchup that I'm really interested in seeing between him and Draymond. Like, I can see that being one of the matchups where at the end of everything, Draymond Green either talks about him on his podcast, or we see him go, like, if the Warriors were to win, which they probably will, I could see him going to find Grant Williams and be like, hey, yo, you next. You're going to be the next smart guy that people don't really get what's going on, but you make things work.
I'll say, though, that, like, I'm happy Grant Williams is playing well now, because, like, I know people talked a lot of mess about him earlier in his career, and I really liked him at Tennessee. He was amazing at Tennessee. So, you know, that's fun to see. Actually, I'm thinking about, like, just coaching things and whatever. Because, like, both teams have some big dudes like Looney and Robert Williams. But, like, will folks try and play small and all that? I don't know. There's a lot of little things you could kind of go into from, like, what are the things the coaches are going to try and do, right? Like, how are you going to try and, like, get Curry to take, just become an awful shooter for a game or two? Right? You got to keep Klay Thompson from seeing the ball go through the hoop from deep. Like, none of these things are easy. You can, of course, chase them off the three-point line to a point, right? Like, Curry doesn't really care. He's just, if he decides he's going to throw a three up, he's going to throw a three up, and it goes down or it doesn't. He is not an humble shooter. He takes shots from half court and makes them. Like, he will take humble, it in your face, off the
at
dribble.
At this point, I truly believe humble is for...
Humble is for now?
At this point, I truly believe humble is for people who are expecting bad things to happen. And I do not think Steph Curry thinks anything less than good things are going to happen anytime he has the ball.
This is fair. Granted, you know, he's had some awful shooting nights, even in the playoffs. Just like, if that was your first time seeing him, folks would be like, this is the greatest shooter of all time? Like, are we sure? And then, like, you know, he has one of those nights where it's just like, it's falling from everywhere. It's just like, oh my God. Actually, what will be something will be interesting to see, like, how big a role Poole plays in the course of the series, right? Because, like, you know, right, that Curry is going to be looking to score. Klay is going to be looking to score. Wiggins, again, you can set your clock to him, which is something you couldn't say even a couple years ago. So, like, you know what he's like, you know what you're getting from him. But, like, Poole has had games where he's going for, like, 30-plus. And, like, games where, like, he might have, like, 10. on iffy efficiency or something. And like, if he's going, right, how are the Celtics going to respond, right, defensively? Right, how will you have, like, who are you going to put on like him if you also already have to worry about Curry and Thompson? And I guess you don't really have to worry about Wiggins, but like, if you could make him have an off night, that would be great. It would help the cause, but like, he's not the primary concern. And like, do you think the Warriors would be able to like force the Celtics into making some bad decisions?
Yes. Also, don't think it's super hard to force the Celtics into making bad decisions. I don't know if you saw that stat before the game tipped off. Between Brown and Tatum, they had 50 turnovers in, I want to say, throughout the entire series. So if you can force the dudes who have the ball in their hands the entire time to cough it up at least a few possessions. And neither of the guys are great playmakers. They're scorers at the end of the day. They can go get you a bucket. They're not looking to like super get their teammates involved, which is really weird because during the bubble, Jason Tatum had that span where he kind of looked like Kawhi as a distributor, where if you give the ball to him on like the elbow, like he can pass the ball to everybody. Like he can see the floor and get everybody else involved. And they've kind of like went away from that. Like he still has those flashes of being able to create for others, but his thing is scoring and going to go get a bucket. And I completely get that. But as much as I like the move of Marcus Smart at point guard, you kind of need a second guy to like get everybody touches. Like, and I get it, the pick and roll with Robert Williams, who is an automatic lob threat. Everybody can kind of feed him, but you got to kick it to your shooter sometime. And then you didn't see that a lot with Jason Tatum. Now, the Heat were what, like a top five defense this entire year?
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors were at least a top 10 defense this entire year. So were the Celtics. So I definitely think they can pressure them into coughing up the ball more, especially when those dudes are not on the floor. Like they can make Derek White have an off night. They can make Marcus Smart have an off night. I can't think of like any other ball handler that they have for real outside of those two guys. But if the Miami Heat are already forcing
Pritchard, but he doesn't get consistent minutes.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. I don't even want to talk about Peyton Pritchard. Like, Peyton Pritchard, I think the Warriors want him on the floor. If they can get him on the floor, they have enough bodies and they have enough size where they can be like, okay, we can do something. Or if they really want to be disrespectful, they'd be like, Steph got him. Which is, I get it, last couple of years, we're like, Steph Curry's a much improved defender. Is he?
I think it's like this, right? I think a lot of times when people say, oh, right, he's a better defender now. It, for a lot of players, it is often more wishful thinking than anything. Or like maybe you just have better defenders around you and it can cover the fact that you're not great. I think that Steph actually has probably improved. Granted, if you think if like you were like me and thought he's been a subpar defender for a long time, outside of being, you know, solid playing the passing lanes, then like he can be much improved and still be like mediocre at best, but like he's also the best shooter of all time. So like he can get away with being mediocre at best on that end of the floor. Also, my understanding is he's worked to get, you know, physically stronger so that he can absorb the hits around the rim, which would like and like you touched on earlier, would also benefit his defense, and that he, in that, like, when the contact happens, he's not giving up position as easily anymore. But so, like, I'd argue he is better. I'm not sure that necessarily means you'd call him like a good defender, and definitely not an elite one or anything approaching that, but that's fine. If he's your, I feel like if at this point, I feel like if Steph is your worst defender on your team, the defense is decent. Like it doesn't suck. If nothing else. But again, right, if he gets put on an island with like Tatum or Brown, it's going to be a long night for the Warriors.
I argue if he gets put on a island with Marcus Smart, who's just bigger and stronger, yeah, that's probably 2 points.
Yeah, but like you can talk smart, like you can get Smart to settle for like threes and like questionable threes and stuff. So like you could, like, as a coach and as a team, they could make that work. Unless Smart's just hitting everything, in which case I wouldn't know what to tell you regardless of who you put on him. But yeah.
Yeah. Calvin, it's prediction time. Mm-hmm. I think I've already stated who I'm going with. And guys, I'm going to let you know something about me. I do not care about my record for predictions. Predictions are fun and games for me, which means I'm not pricking with my head. Even though I'm going to have a solid defense of where my pick goes, you can poke holes and you can find fallacies all you want. I do not care. It is truly about where my heart is and where the fun lies. And for me, the fun lies in the Celtics winning in game six. It will prove several things. One, that the Celtics are actually ready to win. They've already had to win two game sevens against the team that's been the number one seed the entire season and against the team that was the defending champions with the best player in the world on that team. And I get it. They did not have Chris Middleton. I think that would have been a completely different series if they had Chris Middleton. But we're not playing what ifs. We're playing what actually happened. And the fact that you just came away with arguably the toughest road to get to the finals this year. You had to go against the Nets, which I get it. They did not look good. For you to shut down Kevin Durant means you were doing something stellar on defense. That is an incredibly hard task. For you to slow down Giannis, who I get it, played a ton of minutes in that series and was probably gassed by the time that happened. But you got over a team that just won a championship that was as well-oiled as just about any other team, even though they did not have Chris Middleton. And then you got over the Heat, who have been arguably the best team, even though questionable talent. As much as I watched the Heat throughout this playoffs, they still have guys on their roster. I'm like, who are you? Like, Gabe Vincent. Like who is Gabe Vincent? Like, there's no disrespect to Gabe Vincent because he's nice. He's proven to be a really good player. And that he always do their due diligence of finding guys who should not be there, but they produce. Like, it's him, Max Strus. It's Duncan Robinson, who barely played this entire playoffs. It's guys like that that they find and they put in the right places to succeed. But you see, when it's like game time, there are guys that you probably wouldn't expect to succeed, and that happens. But beside all of that, the Warriors had the hardest time. I mean, not the Warriors, the Celtics, Freudian slip, guys. Trust me. I ain't rocking with the Warriors like that. Still have my biases. The Celtics had the hardest road to get there. And the fact that they're going up against a grizzled group that have won NBA championships, have pretty much dominated the last decade of basketball along with LeBron James, That's who they have to be. And for them to go out like superheroes and have arguably one of the best NBA championship and NBA championship stories, they have to close it out against the Warriors. And you got to do it. You can't just, if you 4-0 them, you skunk them, you get out of here and you sweep them, that would be beautiful. But that is not a logical thing at all. That's why I say in game six. For the Warriors, all the experience that they have, having the greatest shooters of all time, having, I'm so glad Philip is not here, because I know this would derail the conversation, but having Draymond Green, that mix of players, including my boy Andrew Wiggins, the all-star, that group of players buys you two games in the NBA Finals, to me. At bare minimum, I don't care who they're playing against. They can be playing against the Chicago Bulls. That buys you two games in the NBA Finals, for sure. But I want to see something new. I want to see the young bloods really come out of this. And as much as we're saying that this is the least experienced younger team, the Celtics actually have a lot of experience. Again, they had another good graphic that they showed in last night's game where this is like most of the guys on that team, this is their 7th, 8th, and I think for Al Horford, like 15th game 7 that they've ever played in. So they've been in really tough matchups. They might not know how to win those, but they've been here before. And if they decide to figure out how to win now, doing it in the NBA Champ Finals, while it may be hard, it is the right time to do it.
Okay. So, my money is on the Warriors, right? Just
boo.
Fair. That's fair. Like the Celtics winning would be infinitely more fun. At least from a, you know, good young players winning standpoint, right? Like the Celtics are one of those dynasties and whatever. One of those teams with all the hardware. Even if the lion's share of it came from like three dudes. And they're also Rams, but it's just like the Warriors, like you said, they have more experience. They have the kind of team that can lock in and not make a whole lot of mistakes. Right? They have that consistency. They play. They also have that like that chemistry whenever they play really well together. And like, I mean, like you never really know whether or not someone is ready until after or whatever. So we can't be like, oh, the Celtics aren't ready to win definitively, but like, I don't think they're there quite yet. And like, I would assume if we were to ask them, they would think very differently. I'd be disappointed if they thought otherwise. But like, I don't think they have answers. At least if they do, I don't think they know they have answers for a lot of what the Warriors are going to throw at them. And like they don't have the room for error. And I think that's a lot of what's going to end up costing them, right? A few too many mistakes here and there. So I'm going to say, you know, Golden State in, let's say Golden State in six.
Would you like to put money on this wager, Calvin?
I would not.
What would you like to put on this? You understand, whatever we bet, the entire world would know. So if you want to do like tattoos or something, we can get it on. What's up?
I'm not doing tattoos because I'm not having that on my body forever if I lose.
Yeah, smart choice, because you know my bet would be like, you got to put my face on your arm or something like that.
Or something,
like,
yeah.
Something wild where you got to explain that to like all of your, like your significant other for like the rest of your life.
Yeah, like I'm not, I don't want those problems, I'm sorry. What do you have any ideas? I can't think of anything.
You coming to homecoming?
That's my plan.
I know this bill can be, could get ridiculous. I'm going to say party favors. Mm-hmm. Understand what I mean by party favors? Party favors on the loser of the bet. So the Celtics win in six. The entire time we down in Tallahassee, party favors on you.
Cool.
Okay. I'm so glad that we're not in person to shake on it. So if I lose, I can like find a way to back out of this.
But it's recorded, sir.
It is. It's a, oh dang, it's a legally binding verbal agreement because it's on video. That's crazy. I edit the podcast. I'll be fine.
You know you're not gonna want to go back and do all that work.
You don't know how frugal I am, do you?
I mean, I'm vaguely aware, but I'm also aware that, like, you're not trying to do extra work if you don't have to.
Baby, this is a cut and delete situation. I know exactly what minute we got. Calvin.
Mhm. Mhm. I don't have anything else to add today.
Okay. Look. So, what we're going to try to do, you know, I'm as good as I am at being a host, I'm really bad at scheduling. So, I have no idea when the NBA finals actually start. So, I'm going to look that up as I speak. Thursday?
Yeah.
All right. Calvin, clear your schedule. Ooh, they got games on my birthday. Why are y'all doing games on my birthday? This is stupid. Calvin, what we going to do? Last year, we did live stream. We actually did a halftime show for every finals game. Calvin, I would love to have you part as our halftime crew. We got the 2nd, the 5th, the 8th, the 10th, the 13th, and the 16th. Because that's all we need. We're not going to need the 19th. It's not going to 7 games. It's just not. It's not going to happen. Not with these teams. But guys, yeah, we're definitely going to be doing a halftime show again this year. I would love for you guys to tune in as we sign out. I thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode of the Traveling Hoopers podcast. I have been your host, Sir Picks with his heart. We don't have Philip here, so somebody has to have a great nickname. And it's me. Sir Picks with his heart is signing out. And Calvin can go ahead and do us the honors.
Once again, everybody, I've been Calvin McGowan. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us, the Traveling Hoopers podcast. If you're joining us on YouTube, like, share, subscribe, something in the comments. You can listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Yes. Oh, and if you're looking for a lot of content coming up about this 2022 high school recruiting class, where a lot of the big name players are going, how they got to 5-star status and all of that good stuff, please tune into the Traveling Hoopers YouTube account. A ton of that content is going to be coming out over the next couple weeks between June 6th through the end of July. So see you guys soon. Thank you for your time.